Well, it's always fun to get together, whether it's a Wednesday or a Sunday. It's always good just to encourage ourselves in the things of God, because especially nowadays, you don't find it in a lot of places other than church. You don't hear what's being talked about. It's not in daily conversations as much. When you're at work, your co-workers aren't necessarily telling you how wonderful Jesus is. Now, you might have heard that 100 years ago, but nowadays you just kind of don't hear that said. And Christina was told one day on the playground, she was talking about Jesus. Do you know Jesus? And her little friend says, "We don't talk about Jesus. That's not an appropriate thing to talk about." And they didn't, you know, it was just coming from a little six-year-old at that time, and it wasn't trying to be mean to her, but that's how her understanding is. You talk about it maybe on Sunday morning, but when you go to church, but that's about it. You know, the rest of the week, you're on your own. And so thank God we're not like that.
Was that a child or an adult who said that to her?
It was a six-year-old. Yeah, yeah, and it was just a little, you know, kids just talk, and all sorts of things come out, so we don't hold it against them, because they're six, but, you know, it's just they're processing things, and so certain people's world looks a certain way, and others looks different, and so that's why we say it's nice to bring our children to church, because they are allowed to freely talk about God. And they're allowed to be around other people that freely talk about God, and homes that allow that to be a common thing to discuss, because they're processing in their heads. Anyways, that's not my subject, but I deal with children most of the time, and so you're going to get a little bit of it. But tonight, what I want to talk about is faith versus fear, and how you can know if you're in faith or if you're in fear. And you can't be in both. You're either in fear or you're in faith. It's not an either or type thing. And so the great thing about that is that if you find that you're worried about something, you know right away, oh, I'm getting into fear, and I can stop and I can change that. And I can get into faith. And so sometimes we make it so hard trying to figure out, oh, do I have enough faith? Do I have enough faith? And we're trying to figure out, what is it that I'm missing that I maybe am not in faith? And we're completely missing the fact that we're in fear about if we have enough faith. And those go opposite. So if you're worried that you don't have enough faith, then that is affecting your faith. You're not able to boldly just stand before God and say, okay, I'm going to take this, because you're not sure you've done enough A, B, and C to be able to stand before God. And it gets us into this part that we're actually more afraid than what we realize. And that's more what's motivating us than actually being convinced of something and standing, because we're convinced of it. So, if you want to open your Bibles to 1 John 4:8. I just think it's always good, though, when something is laid out pretty simple. It doesn't mean that it's always easy, but if you can see kind of the black and white of it, then it's easy for you to be able to make adjustments and then get what you're looking for, which is your prayers answered. 1 John 4:8. It says, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So right there in a nutshell, the first thing that we have to understand is that God is love. He's a loving Father. He loved us so much that he sent Jesus to die for us and gave us all of these promises that are in His Word for us to be able to stand on so that we can walk in victory. Doesn't mean that we don't walk through things, but we will always come out on the other side in victory. And that's where the joy and the peace comes from, knowing that I don't care what's going on around me, I've got the victory. And but first of all, we have to be convinced that God loves us, that He is love, that He wants good things in store for us, that He is not out against us, trying to make us, learn from our trials and tribulations and cause us, you know, to have cancer so that we can learn something from God. That's not how He works. That's not a, you would never do that to your loved ones. He would never do that to us. He is not causing horrible situations in our life to teach us a lesson. Now, we will learn lessons in the process of it, but it's not coming from God. That's not what He is doing. And then if you look at verse 18 in that same chapter, it says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love." So, to me, what that is saying is that if we're fearing, if we're in torment about something, it means that we do not have that understanding of God's love, of His love towards us, towards those around us, towards those that are, towards our family, towards whatever is going on. We don't understand that God really cares about us and is interested in us. And then that in turn causes us to be afraid. And I just want to give different examples of things that would be applicable to our lives. But when we are at rest in God and in His ability, there's not any room for fear. When we're totally at peace, that God said it, I believe it, that settles it, we are not worried at all. But if we begin to start worrying how we're missing it, like I said just a few minutes ago, then we're starting to enter into fear. Now, there are times that God may show us things and cause us to make adjustments, but at the same time, He is able to get that across to us, especially when we believe that He will do that and that He is big enough to do it. But if we start getting afraid, I don't know, am I hearing God? Am I not hearing God? We're yielding more to that fear instead of just believing. God's word says His sheep hear His voice. And so therefore, I hear God. I can remember a time when Jim and I were engaged, and I'm like, is this the right guy? Is this not the right guy? I don't know. You know, you're just kind of, I have peace, but, you know, I had peace one other time, and it was the wrong guy. You know, so you're like, what do you do? You know, you want to make sure. But I just remember several times saying, no, I hear the voice of God. If God, my heart is open. I really and truly want to do God's plan for my life. And if I'm about to step over a cliff, He can stop me because my heart is open to hear it. And that gave me the assurance that when I said I do, okay, that settles it. It's done. I didn't have any red flags all the way up to that point, and so therefore it's done. So the first argument that we have, I'm not going to say, oh, no, I missed it. Too late now. I'm stuck, so I'm going to have to figure out how to work this out. But no, it gives you a confidence when you're going into decisions and finding out what it is that God really has for you. You're going to have a confidence that when the tough times start coming, that this is where God wants me. When we came out to Andover and we went a whole year with one person, one lady and her son, you know, you can start getting a little bit, oh, is this God? Did we miss it? We here, we just moved halfway, you know, or yeah, halfway across the United States. Are we, you know, did we eat pizza and start hearing funny things, you know? Because we like pizza. So what's going on here? But we went through so many different checks on the way before we came here that once we got here and we went through the first year and the second year and the third year and the fourth year, and Noel can say amen because he was through a lot of them with us. Once we went through those things, we were just like, you know what? I believe this is what God has for us. And he hasn't told us any different. And so we just keep doing what we know to do. And then he did. Things began to change, and things are changing, and now we're going into our third renovation or new building, and it's exciting. But we could have easily said, after year one, okay, let's go back. But that was not, you know, we could have gotten into fear, and I can't say that there weren't times that we had pity parties, just saying, oh God, don't you have more for us than this, you know? But we, you know, we knew though that we would not make any other decision, because at that point, all we had heard from God was to come out here. And so a lot of times fear will try to come in and motivate you to make choices, kind of knee-jerk reactions to things. You start to get worried. So let's look at 2 Timothy 1:7. This is a scripture that we have taught the children, our kids, since they were very little. It doesn't mean that they never have a bad dream, but it does mean that when they have their bad dream, the first thing they try to tell themselves is, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And they still may end up calling us into their room, and then we reassure that scripture is true. And we pray with them. But this has been something that even as a young person, you can get a hold of this truth, that God is not the author of fear. His plan for your life is not for you to be worried. And if you are worried, the good thing is you can see, oh, that's worry. I can change that. And instead, what he has given us is power, love, and a sound mind. And again, the sound mind keeps us from having those knee-jerk reactions. Many times people will be like, oh God, why am I in this situation? And it wasn't God that led you there at all. It was your fear that caused you to have some knee-jerk reaction, and then you ended up going out there and making this decision that actually got you further behind rather than being right where in the center of God's plan for you. And again, those are things that we're growing and we're learning and we're developing. But the more you can see where fear is coming in your life, the easier it gets for you to be able to get into faith. Because you realize, you know what? That's not God. So you have this thought when you go to the doctor and he says, you've got A. You're like, oh my gosh, what does that mean? I've got A. And whatever A is. And then you begin to think of all those things that A could do to you, or where it could lead you in the future. When those are coming to you, you have to realize that's fear. That's not God. That's not the path that you want to keep letting your mind go down. Instead, you want to turn it around and say, you know what? I don't care if the doctor says if I have A to Z. I don't care. Because the Bible says, by Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. That settles it. I'm not going to think anymore about it. I'm going to stand on it. Thank you, God, I'm healed. I'm healed, I'm healthy, I'm whole. And your mind, if you, so this is an example that you can say, if you're in a doctor's office and you're starting to get worried about everything, you know that's fear. But if you're standing on the word and saying, you know what, the Bible says, then you know you're in faith. And when you begin to start speaking what the word says about your health, you will find your natural body will begin to quicken and feel stronger. How many of you have ever just felt worn out, depressed, discouraged, and then you came to church, or you talked with someone on the phone that was telling you the word, and all of a sudden you're like, oh my goodness, I feel so much better. It happens over and over because that word begins, it's quickening our inner man, and our inner man in turn is, our spirit man is affecting our physical man. And so if we can keep in tune with our spiritual man who is in tune with God, if we can keep that open, then when different things are coming our way, we just say, nope, this is what the word says. I don't care that the circumstance looks like this. This is what the word says. And we just keep doing that over and over and over in different areas. 1 Peter 5, 6 through 7, if you want to just go there. First Peter 5, 6 and 7. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. When you are convinced that God cares for you, it is so easy to throw your care onto him. But many times people will think, oh, God doesn't care about this. This is too small of something for him. And so they end up trying to carry the load themselves. And that goes against what the Bible is saying. The Bible says we have to humble ourselves. How do we humble ourselves? There are people that think they are so humble because they wouldn't want to bother God with their problems. Because God is so big and God is so almighty, I don't want to disturb him. I'll just, you know, and he's over all these people. I don't want to bother him with my little problem. And what we don't realize and what people don't realize is that's actually pride. It's saying, I can do this without God. And there's not anything that we were created to do without God. He never said, go and take this amount of load and do it yourself, and then when you get through that, come back and I'll give you the next load. He never said that. And he said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Take my burden. It's light. My yoke is light. These are the things that he's telling us because we are not intended to do things without his help. He intended for us to always need to rely on him and to ask him for help. And so if we can humble ourselves to accept the fact that we can't do it on our own, if we can humble ourselves to accept the fact that God's word is true, even if the people around you are saying the opposite. So the doctors are telling you, you have no hope. That goes against what the word says. If your condition, is terminal or something, that goes against what the word says. The word says, by Jesus' stripes you're healed. So you have a choice at that point to start worrying about, oh my goodness, what's going to happen to my children? What about my grandchildren? And start going down that path of, You know, oh, I don't want anyone, I don't want to bother anyone. You know, I don't want them to see me going through all these different stages that I'm going to be going through. I just don't want to be a bother. Start going down this path of thought, you're entertaining thoughts that are fear. And that is making your faith level go down and down. And so the more that you can say, God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, and I have the Holy Spirit on the inside of me, and he quickens my mortal body, and you just start going back, pushing back against that fear, your inner man is like, yeah, that's right. And then all of a sudden, your outer man is like, yeah, that's right. And then you will notice that if you start entertaining those fearful thoughts, you start getting depressed. And you want to go to sleep. And you don't want to open your Bible. And your flesh begins to get really strong, saying, I just want to watch TV. I just want to, you know, you want to do anything when you are depressed except for open your Bible and pray and go to God. Because You're over here and the devil is talking to you and tormenting you and you don't feel like there's any way out. And what God is here, over here saying is, my word hasn't changed. That situation didn't change my word. And so he's saying, I'm still the same. I'm the constant. And so he's trying to pull you back over here and say, look, you're still healed. Your body has to fall in line with that. And you can just get a flat-out attitude about it. Because you have to. You have to get to the point where you're like, no, the word says. And so therefore, because the word says it, it's going to happen in my life. It has to happen. So we were looking at 1 Peter 6 and 7, about humbling ourselves. Let's go over to Galatians 5, 22. And while we're going to Galatians 5, 22, Ephesians 6. You don't have to go there. But when you see the armor of God, nowhere in there is it listed how you have to carry the weight of the world yourself with your armor. What you're doing, though, you have peace. Your feet are supposed to be walking in peace. And you have faith, the shield of faith. Those two are going together. Peace, faith, they go together. Here we're going to look at Galatians 5, 22. We've been talking about this in Super Kid Academy for the last 12 weeks. The fruit of the Spirit. So I have gotten to, you know, study it for a while. And the more I've studied it, the less and less that I see that there's a fruit of fear. There is no fear and there's no fruit of worry. Instead, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, being full of faith, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. But it is not said that there is fear. So if we see fear, we know, hey, I got to stop. That needs to send a red flag to us and say, you know what, if I'm worried, I need to figure out why I'm worrying, what's causing me to be worried right now, and say, you know what? What does the Bible say about this situation? And then once you figure out, okay, well, the Bible says this, it makes the fear go into the background. But many times, we don't know right offhand that we're entering fear. It's kind of sneaky. And then all of a sudden you realize, oh my goodness, I'm in fear. What am I doing? Sometimes you don't even realize it till you've come to church. And then Jim will be saying something and you're like, oh, that is fear. Oh, yeah, that's what it is. That's where I'm missing it right now. I didn't see it, but that is really fear. And, you know, you'll get some enlightenment and you'll go home and you're like, yeah, I got the victory. And then Monday comes and it comes from a different angle and your mind starts going and going and going. If your mind is going like this over and over and over, you're in fear. Just want you to know, been there, done that. Okay, so if it's doing this, you can just stop yourself right now and just say, okay, that's not God. That's not God. I don't have to try to figure this out. And just cast it. God, you're bigger. You understand. You know my kids. Oh, God, you know my kids. That's something that people can get in a lot of fear over. They're out of my house, and I can't control them anymore. You know? What do I do? You trust God. You don't get into fear, because if you get into fear, you're not helping the situation at all. If anything, you're hindering God, because you're not praying in faith for that situation, for your children, or, you know, whoever it is that you're praying for. If you are getting into fear, you might as well not pray. Because, I'm not saying that to be rude, but you're just not in faith, and God can help us when we are operating in faith. He can, otherwise he could just go out there and do whatever he wants, because there's a whole world that is full of fear. There's a whole bunch of people, and obviously he's not getting to do everything that he wants in everyone's life, because they're not serving him. And so because they're afraid of this or that or the other, or maybe God's not real, but he can help us and does want to help us, but he wants us to go to him in faith, believing that he actually will perform his word. That if he said it, he's watching over his word to see it come to pass. So when you see Jesus and the angels and different things throughout the Old Testament and New Testament, whenever they showed up in front of someone in a vision or a visitation or something like that, the first thing they always said was, fear not. That was the first thing. Because if the person is afraid, they're not going to be able to really function. They're not in a sound mind at that point. And so they always go, take the fear out. Don't be afraid right now. Just hear what I have to say. Don't be afraid right now. And so this is where we want to get. This is how we begin to train ourselves. And just like we learned how to walk over trial and error for a period of time, we have to train ourselves not to be afraid. Some of us have grown up in homes that were very conducive for fear. And it was a way that we were brought up, is to be afraid of this, be afraid of that. Well, and then some were in families where parents were maybe control freaks, trying to have everything, I got to keep everything in control. Because they were afraid if anything wasn't in their control, that it could go bad and it could go wrong. And so that is something that we have to now relearn. Rethink and figure out, no, I'm not going to be afraid. I'm going to choose not to be afraid right now. So we've talked about healing. What about finances? This is something that's very real. People need money. You have to have money to buy groceries, to have a roof over your head. So how can I tell if I'm in faith or if I'm in fear? There are people that are very good tithers and give their money to all sorts of good causes, but they're still living paycheck to paycheck. And part of that comes from not being fully convinced that Malachi 3:10 is real. And Malachi 3:10 says, "Test me now. Prove me. See if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on you." That is a promise. And so if we are thinking on, okay, let's see, how am I going to pay for this? Oh my goodness, I have a new bill. I was not expecting this. I was not expecting to have to pay for this. How am I going to pay for this? This is a, you know, I only have so much money, and I've already budgeted it out, and it's going to this, this, and this, and this. I did not have this extra amount budgeted this month. How am I going to do this? And what are we doing when we're doing that? What are we in faith or fear? We're in fear. We're flat out just saying, okay, God, I know that your word says over here, but how am I going to do this? How does that apply to my life right now? But when we start telling ourselves, I always have all sufficiency in all things, that I can abound to every good work. So when Jim is saying, hey, we've got some sound system equipment that we want to, you know, we want to buy for the church, you can have that idea, the thoughts in your head saying, he wants me to give more money. Why? I'm already giving. Why do I need to give more? That is yielding to fear. That's yielding to, I don't really believe that if I give, that God is going to get this back to me. And on the other hand, God said, hey, I will give you grace and sufficiency to be able to give to every good work that is that he puts on our heart for us to give. And so if he puts things in our heart for us to give, then we have confidence that we have the ability to give towards it. And also, it says that God will supply all our needs according to his riches and glory. It also says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That means if there's things in our lives that we need, we can have boldness to stand before God and say, okay, I can have this because God said I can have it. And just to be confident on that and get to the point where you just get a little bit cocky about it. And the thoughts start coming to you and saying, there is no way you're going to be able to do this. There's no way you're going to be able to pay for college for your kids. And you can just say, nope, the Bible says, if I'm following after him, if I have a heart after God and I'm doing things his way, I can have a confidence that I'm in the right place, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and so therefore, God can supply all my needs. He's going to take care of me. As we're following after him, as we're putting him first, as we're going after him, he is going to make sure that everything that we need is taken care of, no matter what it is. Yeah, he can take care of my gas this month, but I don't know if he can take care of my house payment. You know, my house payment is this. My gas is this. I can see how he can take care of the gas, but I don't know how. This is going to be, we're weighing things and saying, well, God can take care of these things. It's what our mind can wrap around. My mind can wrap around this, but my mind can't wrap around this. And what we have to realize is that it has nothing to do with my mind. It says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It says that he is the one that is on my working on my behalf. I'm not in this alone. I'm not in this to go and say, yeah, I had enough faith for this. When you see God come through, it has a way of just saying, oh, dear God. I know that was not me. I know there was some divine intervention there. And I mean, the next Sunday you're just, oh, happy. Let me tell you about God. Because you realize and you know that it wasn't in your own strength and your own ability that he was doing it and working on your behalf. So what about jobs? What about working? There's many times that we can get in fear, like, how am I ever going to meet this deadline? How am I ever going to get promoted? How am I ever going to be able to do whatever it is that they tell you? Or, you know what? I don't think my boss likes me. I don't think my coworker likes me. And you just, all of a sudden, you're in fear. Here, God gave you this job, and you're tormented. Tormented because you don't think either that you're going to be accepted by the people you're around, or that maybe the money from the job is going to meet your needs, or that something in there is bothering you. And that is yielding to fear at that point. And so, how do we get into faith? How do we stop that circle and say, okay, nope, you know what? I'm in faith. Okay, number one, did God give me this job? Did you choose to wait on him and have peace about going into whatever it is that you're doing? And if he gave you this job, right there, that stops everything else. He's planted you in a place, and so therefore you have confidence that God is going to take care of you there. Just like he sent Elijah to a place called there and had ravens give Elijah food and he was by a brook. If you're in the place that God has told you to be, then you have the boss you need. Now, you may not always agree with that boss, but you're where you're supposed to be, and that boss is putting things into you or causing you to work through things so that you are stronger for the next thing that God has for you. Doesn't mean that you're going to stay there forever, but it does mean that if you are there, you look at it as, okay, this is where God has me. All right, I'm there on time, I'm giving my best, I'm doing everything I know to do, and then when the boss has an attitude with you, you just go to God and say, God, this is your job, you have caused me to have favor with my boss or with my coworkers. God, I know that this is the job that I'm supposed to have, but it brings in so much money and I need so much more money. So God, I just know you're going to do whatever it takes to bring in the extra. And your confidence is that he is going to do that. God, I really feel like this is where I'm supposed to be. And so therefore, one of the ways that you cause increase is through my work. And so I just believe that you are increasing my work and you are causing me to have favor and to get promotions and raises and whatever it is that you're needed. And you have confidence and boldness. And so when you go into the workplace, you're not, oh, it's just little me Christian. I know, you guys are so cool. You go on Friday nights to the bar, but it's just little me Christian. No, you're going in there with your head held high saying, this is me, Mr. Christian. Miss Christian, and one of these days, you're going to see that living for God is a mighty big thing, and you're going to want what I have, because you're going to see me so blessed and so well taken care of and such at peace and in joy and having love, even when you guys are so carnal, you know, whatever's going on, you can still walk in love with them. It causes, you're in faith, and that causes you to be in love. And you don't care if so-and-so got the promotion before you, because you know your day's coming. Because either God's going to get you to a job that's going to help, that will promote you, and this was just a stepping stone to get you there. If you aren't going to get promoted here, he will either move you on to the next job that will promote you, or he will promote you where you're at. But we have to just know, I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to be worried. I'm not going to, think I can't do this. I only have, one thing, if we're overworking, that's fear. That's fear. If you are needing to spend 60 hours in a 40-hour job, some of that is motivated by fear. So you can ask God, okay, God, show me how to get this job done. Give me wisdom. Give me understanding on how to get this done. Show me how I'm supposed to do A, B, and Z, A, B, and C. There's some people that do that job and get A, B, and C done in 40 hours. So it can be done. So you begin to go at it and think, okay, I can do this, God. I know I can, and I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to rely on you, instead of, it just can't be done. Just too hard. Sorry, I've tried this. There's no way. I have looked at every way to take this and make it shorter, and there's no way. But God said, if he has given you that job, he's given you what it takes to be able to do that job. If he's the one that has handed you this opportunity, you may have to grow in trusting him, but nobody said it was going to be easy. I think so many times, people feel like, if I'm in faith, it's going to be easy. No, if you're in faith, it means it's difficult, because the easy thing would be to just be afraid. Just go with your flesh and just say, yeah, that's a big mountain. Yeah, I can't cross that. No way I'm getting over there. That would be the easy thing, to just say there's no way. The hard thing is to say, you know what? I don't care what this looks like in front of me. The Bible says, I'm an overcomer. And so therefore, I'm overcoming this. No matter what it looks like, I'm overcoming it. And then you just start taking your step, because he tells you do this, and you take your step. And then you take the next step that he tells you, and then you take the next step, and the next step. And then before you know it, you're at the top of the mountain looking down and say, how did that happen? But he wants that to happen in our lives, but we have to make sure that we're not yielding to fear and making those knee-jerk reactions and just all of a sudden, oh no, this could happen, and then behind us we didn't see something and we trip and fall behind us because we were so afraid of what was in front of us, what was behind us was worse. But we made that knee-jerk reaction. And so God has good things. He loves us. The foundation for all of this is the fact that God is love. If we know without a shadow of a doubt that he's not the one holding out on us, if those are our thoughts, if we're like, well, how come God hasn't done it yet? That is not faith. That's fear. You're afraid he's not going to do it for you this time. And that's a hard thing to sometimes see that, oh no, this is fear. This isn't really faith. No, if that thought comes to your head that he's not going to come through for you this time, that's fear. And what we instead say is, my God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. How he helped me back here. And the older we get, the more testimonies that we have. We can just start going down the list. Well, you know what? When I wanted to get married, he got me the right spouse. When I wanted to have children, he gave me children. When I wanted a job, I got this job. When I wanted this. And we all have these testimonies. And we begin to encourage ourselves in the Lord and remind ourselves and stir ourselves up. And start telling ourselves, God is faithful. Every time we're tempted to say, why isn't God? No, God is faithful. And the where is God leads to depression. But the God is faithful leads us to being stirred up and say, you know what? Oh, he is faithful. And because he's faithful, I'm coming through this and I'm overcoming. And we just fight. Yeah, bring it on. We don't care what it is because we know we're going to overcome. And so as the body of Christ, that's his plan for us. As the body of Christ, he's got specific things that he wants for us to be able to do. And all he is telling us is, believe me, trust me. And the more that we see that and realize, okay, this is what faith looks like, and this is what fear looks like. And when we begin to be able to discern what's faith and what's fear, we will see the victory over and over because we know, oh, that's fear. That's what's going on right now. Switch. And then we're in faith and God's just saying, yes, this is what I've been waiting for. Now I can work for you. And my angels are out there bringing in, causing the increase, speaking to people's hearts to give to you. And then he's quickening your mortal body. The Holy Spirit is on the inside and you're walking around the way you're supposed to walk around and doing the things you're supposed to be doing and having the jobs that God intended you to have. He's working on things behind the scenes that we don't even see. So right now it looks like, oh, I've got this little piddly job, but oh, if you only knew what he was doing behind the scenes, working things out for you for the next place that he's got you or even that place where you're at. He's faithful.